All right, well, welcome back to Woo Guys. This is Mike here. Say hello, Brian.
Hello.
You can check us out on Twitter at BK Glue Guys. Check us out on iTunes. Search Glue or search Glue Guys. And Brian, the Nets are on fire. So this is our first.
Our back.
Whoa, hey,
whoa,
no.
Sorry. Yeah, my fault there.
No, no, jam it. Let's do this.
We're trying to do a little
always,
mix and
always
match
with the tech
over
problem.
Here. No. Welcome back. We are the Glue Guys. Week one is in the books for the Nets. We're actually recording this right now on Wednesday night. As we're speaking, it's 21-27 Hawks. Second quarter, 9:27 left in the quarter. 6 seconds on the shot clock.
We'll be updating.
We'll be updating live and tweeting it and blogging it. It hasn't been the best start for the Nets. It's been a little bit rough. Currently, let me pull up the standings here. Let me check. They are.
Do I want to hear this?
0-4, Brian.
Is there any other 0-4 team? There's got to be. Somebody's got to be 0-4.
Oh, yeah. There's, I think, I was looking. I think the Lakers are winless.
Yeah.
The Pelicans are winless. And everyone thought they would be a playoff team.
Pelicans kind of in a similar position to us, you know? They thought they had something going with. I mean, they do have something going with Anthony. And what? And they just blew their wads on Eric Gordons and the Tyreek Evans and the Drew Holidays and of the world.
And the problem is that, you know, like Tyreek is probably the second best player on that team. And he's hurt. Eric Gordon is just a weird player at this point.
Yo, this isn't a Pelicans podcast though. This is a Nets podcast.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What is going on with these mics? Anyways, team's 0-4. Brian, you were at the Milwaukee Bucks game, the last game previous to this Hawks Nets game, which is 27-23 at the moment.
Let me just give you the ambiance. Very reminiscent of a Prudential Center Nets squad, let me tell you, or just Nets environment, which made me feel simultaneously a little bit sad, but a little bit at home, you know?
What do you mean by that, though?
So Prudential Center was the Newark arena for, I don't know if you new fans are hip to it, but it was an apocalyptic wasteland out there.
Sure.
And once you survived the hordes of mutants, then you would get to the arena. No, I mean, it was pretty scary, though, at like night, because there's nothing going on in Newark at night. You come from the city where there's people walking around at night, go to Newark, no one.
I told you that I went to Louis C.K., at NJ Pack there, which is the beautiful place, but it was snowing.
Mm-hmm.
It was all, and walking from wherever train station, the Newark train station to NJ Pack, it
freaked you out.
It's a weird scene.
Yeah.
It's very much like Syracuse when we went there, like the city of Syracuse.
Yeah. Still got the burning trash cans. Like, get that thing.
It's where they filmed like all the posts, like. Yeah. Avengers scenes after, Loki and all the aliens came down.
I mean,
in full disclosure, I just watched the second Thor movie. I watched, Avengers 2, which is pretty good. Age of Ultron.
Wow.
That's on Redbox right now. Go get it.
Wow.
We're sponsored by Redbox today, so thank you. Which, again, like, this is what we want to talk about. Like, we really would like a sponsor, not for the money.
Whoa! Are you just getting down on your knees and?
No, it's not even. I don't want the money. I just want to like sell something. I'm
so
just a salesman.
We're gonna pull back the curtain. We are actually sponsored by Redbox, and he said he would do this. This is getting very meta. We're not actually. But here's the thing. So I was at the Nets game, and it was not very populated with people, and I sat there with GW and our glue intern. And,
the glue intern was there?
Yeah. And we're just cynics, you know? We just were cynical and a little bit, you know, just we heckled a bit and, it felt like old times.
What was GW's impression? Who does he hate? Who does he like?
It's hard to know. He didn't jump to many conclusions. He still loves Joe Johnson. Still loves him some Joe Johnson to this day.
Well, and I think it's a little early to say that Joe Johnson is dead. He's just not good at the moment.
He right now is playing, I gotta tell you, a little bit of frustrating defense. Just not rotating. Just in general, I think there's a phenomenon going on. I said this earlier, but it feels like the Nets are playing as though they don't believe that there is a three-point line out there. It's just like it's It's like they don't play it on offense. They're not playing it on defense. It's just like they don't think.
Well,
they
I have some stats are, for you. Do you want stats to back up observations here?
Not really, unless they actually back them up.
We typically don't like to use statistics to base anything off of anything. But I looked it up because we had been talking over Gmail again. Opponents' three-point percentage against the Nets have given up the second highest in the league. So teams that play the Nets, they typically shoot the ball really well from three. And also, the opponent's field goal percentage, the Nets are the worst in the league. So teams that are playing the Nets have the best field goal percentage against the Nets than, you know, anyone else.
Right. And we're not shooting the three. The 3-point differential, so
not
you,
great.
You had a statistic up on Twitter not long ago about us being last in 3 points attempted or something.
Yeah, the team.
Is that still true?
Checking it now. So they've attempted the second fewest amount of threes. Which is kind of tough because not everyone has the same amount of games. I mean, mostly it's all 4 and 5, but there's kind of like a big difference between those. So Nets have attempted the second fewest amount of 3-point shots. Nets have also have the third worst 3-point percentage in the league. So they're not defending it well. They're basically giving teams up.
Yeah.
But Devin, I don't know if you saw this tweet. Devin tweeted out something, I think around 7 o'clock tonight. Again, Wednesday night, said something like, Nets opponents have a better field goal percentage from three when they're taking contested 3-point shots as opposed to open looks. So teams are somehow shooting better against the Nets when they have a hand in their face than when the Nets don't guard anyone.
Well, I think that's just got to be small sample size
theater.
Small
sample size, yeah. It's awful.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like another example of how this team is having a rough year so far.
Yeah, but okay, so here's the thing. Here's the talk around the league. Is this time to really push the panic button? I mean, we had talked earlier, a hard schedule. No doubt. Milwaukee, a winless team, but a pretty crummy matchup for us because they are long and I wish they had won a game, you know, because then they would have wanted to win that one so bad, you know. Had they come in 1-2 versus 0-3, I think we probably could have taken that one.
I mean, no, realistically, so, okay. Glass half full, glass half empty, glass half full. They played Chicago, Spurs, Memphis, Milwaukee, and they're playing the Hawks tonight. Those are, you know,
some of the best.
Some of the best. No question. Bucks are the worst team of that group. Maybe Memphis this year will be the worst team of that group, but regardless, those are pretty good teams. While the Nets, they haven't looked tremendous. they have, okay. I tend to be more positive about teams at the beginning of the year because I always think in the NBA, you kind of go through swoons and this is a team that had a partial amount of turnover. Shane Larkin coming in, Jared Jack becoming the lead guard, which he really wasn't. I'm going to give this team just more leeway. I'm not freaking out.
I like it. I like it.
And
is that that's the half full part?
Well, half full. Okay. I literally wrote down like what would be the half full thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Shane Larkin looks okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, he looks okay. Who's the only player on this team that has a positive, net rating in terms of like being on the floor? Like when he's on the floor, they're actually winning the game.
I'm going to guess that this person's not averaging many minutes.
It's probably someone who you like. I'll give you that hint.
Is it Rondae Hollis-Jefferson?
It is Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. His net rating is positive compared to
because he's only played like
negative
6 minutes a game.
Karasev is actually zero right now. We'll see how this Hawks game turns out. So if you want to be positive, you hope Thad Young will play better. You hope Joe Johnson will eventually play better. That Hollins will figure out this 2-point guard, what he's going to do with Jack, what he's going to do with Larkin. That Boyan will continue to be sort of a positive force that he's been.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
You know, it's just a really difficult thing. Like I was, anyway, so there, another point that I got that made me a little discouraged and, you know, I like to, pepper in some good feelings, some positive vibes and counterbalance that with maybe some of the more negative takes. This is going to be one of those, you know, the latter negative takes. when, it was like 3 minutes to go in the third quarter, this is the Bucks game and, we had just had our only like actually like meaningful run that was like, looked good, and we were, you know, I think we were down by 4 or 3 or something. Up until that point, it had been a little bit dreary. And so we score, get back on defense, force a turnover, and then Hollins takes a timeout with 3 minutes to go. Momentum totally unnecessarily killing the momentum. And that made me feel really sad. That really bothered me, in my core, because this is a guy that prides himself on being an anti-analytics, you know, old school guy. If writing like momentum is like if that's if you could also be that way and then not be interested in writing momentum, like what kind of human are you?
Yeah.
What kind of person does neither of those two things?
those two things correctly.
Yeah.
Really like all heart and passion and Ned Yost type. We're gonna go to baseball.
Sure.
Just like
an emotional leader.
Yeah.
Or an analytics guy. You know, calculating.
Cold.
But neither. Is
happening at this point for this team.
That's a tough sell doing either.
So you were at the game, so you didn't see the Bill Clinton interview.
No, I didn't.
Yes, I did Bill Clinton interview during the Bucks game.
Yeah.
If you want to see it, it's on thebookandgame.com. It's good watch. But Clinton name drop Lonnie Hollins. He's like, I think he's a really good coach and he's going to be here for a while and he's going to have this team going. He brought up how he thinks this team is playing together better than they had last year and that they're going to.
He's not watching. He doesn't.
He actually said that they're a better team than they were last year. That despite that they haven't won any
he's
games.
He's a politician.
Pretty. You know, I think it's pretty. I mean, Clinton is a known sports fan. He's not apparently President. Sure. Apparently, President Obama is like an insane sports fan.
Yeah.
But the fact that Clinton like even realized sort of that, you know, even he can see that Darren Williams being gone is a good thing. I think that's the presidential seal. That's kind of what I pulled out of it.
I don't think he said that. I think you're projecting a bit.
It was a subtweet of which he was kind of sort of saying his whole spiel. He said the team looked more together than they had last year.
Okay.
What was the difference? Oh, Darren Williams is gone.
Well, it's also
certainly
just
not
true.
Because Kevin Garnett is gone.
But okay, let me say one more point about Lionel Hollins. So I recently reread a thing about Brad Stevens when he was first coming to the league. And he talks about how he prioritizes keeping, you know, emotional control, like not reacting one way or another to positive or negative, because he believes that players, feed off that one way or the other. You know, they read into the positive, they want to play for the positive, they read into the negative, they become negative. Hollins is the most negative sideline influence I've ever seen. He's straight up just facepalming. Like anytime somebody like, you know, like doesn't catch a pass or something. Yeah, like Shane Larkin, it was like in the second quarter and Shane Larkin like fumbled something out of bounds. Straight face palming, moaning, stomping his feet. And I'm just like, really, that is like a petulant, not great kind of role
model. Especially now in the season. Like, and so I don't hate that stuff just because I don't know how much players ultimately will care about it. As long as he's not doing the thing where he'll call a timeout if they screw up right away and then starts yelling at them in their face. Like that's something the players don't like. But right now, early in the season, like when you're first in a relationship with someone, which is what a season is. A season is a relationship with your team to begin with.
Wow.
So every season's a new relationship, or it should be. When you're first in a relationship with someone, the things that they do, you don't even know what annoys you yet about them.
Mm.
You just don't know. And eventually when you go down the line in the relationship, you know, they may not pick up after themselves or do the dishes or whatever it is. So then that's what happens with a coach. In the beginning of the season, he usually is more relaxed and sort of lets the mistakes go. And then as the season goes along, he gets more and more pissed off because he sees the accumulating mistakes over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
For Hollins to already have like classic like memes out there of him, especially watching Bargnani, who again I'll defend
till
I go to my grave.
I think you have a good reason to be. I think we talked earlier about this, like, people that are being hard on Bargnani right now are like, why? What is it? You just want to just rip on a guy. You just want an easy target, a whipping boy.
Don't you feel bad for people like that in their careers? Like Justin Bieber. Like Bargnani's like Justin Bieber at this point. You know, former top picks. Okay. Right.
A heartthrob of sorts.
Heartthrob of sorts. International. Okay. Coming into the American game.
Yeah. In Canada, there's a Canadian.
Toronto. Yeah.
Wow.
There's
so many.
So everything Bieber does at this point, like, is he really that bad right
Bieber?
Now?
Bieber,
rhetorical. You don't have to answer that.
Okay.
Is that what rhetorical means? But here's the thing. What Bieber's doing, everything he does slightly wrong now, people hate. Okay?
Yeah.
Because of the history. Bargnani, same thing. What has he done that's so bad? But people are angry at him for taking too many shots.
You know what Bargnani does that I like?
Tell me.
He messes up spectacularly every time he messes up. He doesn't just mess up small. He puts it out there. He puts it all the way out there.
It's a beautiful thing.
You know,
you know what? Because I don't know if I talked about this in the last pod. I watched Jupiter Ascending. You know that movie?
Is that the one where Mila Kunis plays like a god or something?
Essentially the ruler of the universe.
Yeah. I did not. I missed that one.
And Channing Tatum is a half-bred wolf man.
Wow.
That
sounds like – I can't – did you pay to watch that? I hope
No. It was on – I think it's on Stars or Cinemax. One of those. Okay. Here's the thing about that movie, okay? It's like Bargnani as well. It fails spectacularly. It doesn't fail in small little safe increments that maybe some players do. Mm. No. Bargs is going to just be out there not playing really any defense. Like, just no defense being had, but taking crazy shots and trying to do the best he possibly, well, not really trying to do the best he possibly could, but trying to be spectacular.
So you're like, okay.
Sort of like a Nick Young.
So to compare him to Jarrett Jack, the sneakiest bad player out there. Bargnani, honest, forthright with his badness.
Right. But it's all out there.
Yeah.
Open book.
Jarrett Jack
is like a
clandestine.
Nancy, like a Nancy Myers movie.
Yeah.
Like, just, like bad. It's bad.
Yeah.
But there's a level of competency there you kind of have to respect, but also it's like,
yeah.
It's just,
or like Aaron Sorkin dialogue, you know, like that's a,
how dare you attack?
I knew
a fellow, you know, Syracuse alum.
I
Ryan.
Saw the Jobs movie, Steve Jobs.
Oh, you
movie.
Did see that?
Did you see it?
Not yet.
Barry Allen. Aaron
ruin
Sorkin-y.
It for me.
I won't. Kidding. It's. I mean, there's nothing to ruin. You presumably heard of Steve Jobs. You know the whole deal.
I'm more of a Microsoft guy, but sure.
I am too.
Yeah.
But, no, it's fine. It's just like nobody talks that way. That's not how humans talk. That's the only thing.
Did you like it though? I've heard people.
No, it's good. It's fine. I mean, it didn't move me. I wouldn't say actually. It's not that good. Sorry. A C+. How's that?
Like the Nets this year. I actually, maybe it's a C+ generous.
Are you giving them a C+ right now? You're grading them at game 5?
I mean, we can grade them right now. What is the score?
Whoa!
34.
Come on!
34.
Do you want a high five?
Sorry
that
for
one?
The, it's 34-34 right now with
okay, give me some more stuff. What do you got?
So going through, Devin actually, and this is funny, so I, independently of Devin, I was looking through just trying to get an assessment of where this team is. And again,
you did something independent of Devin?
Yeah, finally, once in my life. And, you know, originally, it's small sample size. Like, I think we all can understand that. They've played, now it will be 5 playoff teams in a row. So any stats that they have are going to be skewed one way or the other. It's going to be totally different. And that's also why, in news around the league, and you'll see this, I'm resisting doing the who's the biggest surprise right now. Because,
sure.
Well, how could you even possibly determine something like that? It's impossible.
Let's not try.
I mean, it's just not worth it.
Let's not.
But here's some stats. Offensive rating. Okay. Devin put out something. There's like difference in offensive, blah, blah, blah. This is according to basketballreference.com. Nets have the 4th worst offensive rating in the league.
Mm-hmm.
They also have the 4th worst defensive rating. And they have overall the 2nd worst net rating of all the teams in the league. So they're not doing well.
Yeah.
Okay. But again, I'll say, and I'm not trying to be like overly positive here, but when I watch them play, okay, what they're lacking is they're lacking that extra oomph, that guy who can sort of do, you know, get the point on his own or all that crap. That's why I think they're losing games, but I think the rest of their team.
No, they're losing games because they're not giving Lopez touches. They're not doing any.
That is really bothering me.
It is obscene how few touches this guy's getting just all over the court. I was watching Greg Monroe at the Bucks game, like just kind of just, you know, being highlighted in a way that was like really, it was like, okay, you see, you know, Hollins, you see this? You see how this is working for them? Like just do some of that. Have him flash to, you know, they don't even, I mean, I don't love Brooks back to the basket game that much anymore. You know, I think he's just a little bit slow for it for today's young Bucks. Not the Bucks, just in general, the young centers. But I love him, again, as a flasher finisher, pick-and-pop guy. So little of this. So little. Why? Why so little?
I know, and I just think it's, like, Brooks should be not necessarily easy person, but, like, he's a pretty easy person because he can score in a bunch of different ways. But it does seem like, for years, this team hasn't really given him the ball in a good position. I just think because it is a little bit tough. It's not, like, the easiest way in the world to get him buckets. It's, my biggest worry about this team is that if Thad Young continues to not be that great and Joe Johnson continues to really stink, then that would very much suck.
We need to shake up that first unit. Like, I would love a little Joe Johnson off the bench. Like, how come we can't? I mean, we benched Lopez and Darren all last year or whatever, like, or at least like 60 games a pop. I don't know if that's true. 50, 40, something like that. And what, Joe Johnson can't get benched once in a while after he like totally mopes around on defense and let Jimmy Butler just, he didn't even like show up for that Bulls game to play against Jimmy.
No.
I mean, he was not even there.
Yeah. And overall, like, Okay, so what would be the ideal starting lineup? Do you go Jack or Larkin?
You know what? I find it pretty offensive that Rondé is not getting minutes. I mean, this is supposed to be our bridge year. We're supposed to be high. Jared Jack's not going to be here next year. Joe Johnson's not going to be here next year. They know this. They're playing for another contract. Presumably, I think they're not. I mean, I don't want to play conspiracy theorist here, but they don't have a very big a large incentive to play super hard. I'm just going to say. I mean, they do if they want that extra contract, but primarily, I think they just want to get through the season. You know. At that age, their resume is already there.
You mean specific players. You don't
specific
mean...
players.
Oh, okay.
A big problem with this team is that the emotional quality is going to be a real hard thing to harness and excite, because a lot of these guys know they're not going to be here next year. They're not playing for anything. I mean, they wouldn't care if they're playing for a pick either. I mean, they're not invested in the way. The only two guys that are invested, or, you know, a few guys, would be, our rookies and Brooke and Thad, and these guys are getting no attention. Nothing.
And that is why the game becomes so much more exciting when Markel and Rondé Hollis Jefferson are in and Boyan's in. Like, I really kind of, I'm loving this Boyan early season. I mean, he's not lighting the world on fire, but I looked up his stats. He has something like, and I'm going to pull them up as I'm turning the page. So watch this.
Hey,
I'm going to keep doing it. One sec. Let me do it now.
Look at those chubby little fingers work.
Thank you, Brian. Boyan is doing well. Was my note.
That's the stats.
And he's shooting overall 48.7% from the field, but he's just shooting 18.2% from, so he's doing this all 18.2% from three. So he's doing this all off of twos. And he's doing as well as he's doing. I mean, he's only scoring 12 points a game, but so this team to me is the most effective when Boyan's out there, Rondé, Markel. I mean, that's a tough lineup to play all together.
I liked the few moments when they were playing Markel at the point. Like, that's a really fun point guard to watch. I mean, his handle is okay. I mean, like, he's not the best passer, but who is? I mean, we don't have a better passer really than him. I mean, Jack and Larkin maybe, but like.
I really like Larkin's aggressiveness. I've really enjoyed it. I think he's.
I will say, watching Larkin, Markel, and Rondé play, I mean, they're totally lost on team defense. But when they play like a ball handler, they just like Derrick Rose could not get the ball past the 3-point line against Markel Brown for like the last 4 minutes of that game. Could not get it past, and the only time that he did is like
if he could just add a 3-point shot, he would be so valuable.
Yeah.
If he could knock down a three, just 1/3 of the time.
Yeah, I mean, I like those dudes for just super like playing balls out man to man defense in that way. Just getting excited about playing defense is something that I haven't seen any net player do. In a long time, just really slapping the court and doing it,
And this is going to be a running segment, I feel like, but it really already bugs me. You know, I follow Bill Simmons on Twitter. You know, like sort of he somehow drives the conversation on NBA stuff, and like everyone's like, oh my god, the Celtics are going to get all these great picks from the Nets. It's like let's hold that off. Let's hold off for a little bit before we let's get a quarter of the way through the season before we decide like. The Nets are a complete abomination.
That really pisses me off too, especially because the night that, the Nets made that trade, Bill Simmons was the first one to report in that the Celtics got fleeced, and so he gets to have the benefit of hindsight on everything, and it's fine, whatever.
And so do we, I mean.
Sure, but.
Yeah.
And we are certainly butthurt over the whole thing, and that's, or at least I am, I don't know how you are. But yeah, no, it is frustrating, but I would do the same thing, I guess, although I don't use Twitter that much, so.
So
I do it to myself.
I'm going to play a little game right now.
Woo!
Okay. What have we learned? Okay, so we are watching Game 5 currently right now.
Yeah.
We've been through four games. That is 5% way through the season already. If that math really works out, I don't know. Yeah, it works out.
Yeah, sure.
What have we learned about this team?
What we've learned about this team... well, I've learned that I think Lionel Hollins is my least favorite coach that I've, out of all of the Lawrence Franks, the Averys, the PJs.
Wow, really?
Yeah. You know why? Because at least those guys, exuded some kind of positivity. Lionel Hollins is a suck. Is it just an energy suck? I don't want to go too into this, but I just feel like a real strange, kind of feeling of resentment towards him. Just to be to bring a negativity to this kind of team. A bunch of young guys that kind of need, something to play for. And to, I don't know. Do you see what I'm getting at? I just feel like a
no,
weird
exactly,
vibe
I know.
From him, you
and,
know?
And it's kind of, you know, I don't, they got him, and he's been a good coach before, but I'm a Wizards fan, and when the Wizards got Flip Saunders, he thought he was coming to a Gilbert Arenas, Caron Butler, Antoine Jameson triumvirate, and they were going to be in the playoffs, and he was going to elevate them to the next level, and what it ended up being was Nick Young, JaVale McGee, and Andre Blatch.
Right.
Hollins came into this team kind of thinking, all right, I'm going to have Darren with me, Kevin Garnett's here, we got Brooke as a nice young-ish player to have, Joe Johnson, and we're going to be a playoff team, and I'll maybe form them into the next level. And now really what they should be, and if they had their draft pick they would be, is they should be a young kind of like energy efficient team. We're going to get out there. We're going to run. We're going to play really hard defense. Every night we're going to play really hard. We're probably not going to win any games, but that's who we're going to be. Almost like a Brett Brown type classic, you know, whatever.
Sure.
And what it may become, and again, it's early, but that Hollins is maybe not the best fit for this team, but I don't hate Hollins. I mean, like I really, you know, I
don't see why. I mean, I don't,
I don't yet. I mean, I got to see a lot more out of this team. And I think if that Joe Johnson plays to a certain level that he did last year and that Thad Young plays to the level that he did and all this sort of stuff is made. I mean, like, if you really look at the season so far, Brooks playing not as well as he did for those last 2 months as now,
but
right?
That, like, whose fault is that?
That isn't either.
He's not getting any touches. And
Joe Johnson isn't either.
Partly, who should be responsible for not getting touches? Not single-handedly Jarrett Jack. I mean, I think, like, telling Jarrett Jack to put the ball in Brooks' hands is something a coach could probably do, right?
Yeah, I know. I know. I mean, Hollins isn't blameless. I just do think that this team has kind of come sleepy out of the gate, which also maybe is a Hollins problem. And it seems like there's a real division on this team, not like an actual division, but when I watch the game, my eye picks up that the young players are playing super hard and trying to like make a name for themselves. Yep. And doesn't seem like Joe Johnson's doing that really at all. Mm. And Brooks in a tough position because just the way he plays is like, it's tough for him to show that he's playing hard. It's just,
yeah,
it's not his game.
Too slow to show. That.
Yeah. Did you, I don't know if you watched the, when he was talking about his, I don't know how old this is, but him talking about his, like, bobblehead, his Star Wars bobblehead.
Yeah, I saw that.
Which is just fantastic because, like, you know, and I don't want to beat this into the ground because it's been beat into the ground a million times that he's such a nerd, but, like, he really, like, you know when you hear, like, actors on talk shows talking about sports teams, and you're like, you were really not a fan.
Right.
Like, you're like, they're like, oh man, I grew up such a Seattle Seahawks fan.
Yeah.
Man, that Brock Heward's great.
Yeah.
Brooke is like a real, yeah, he's a quarterback.
As a thing.
That actually would be a good name drop if you're an actor. Brooke is like a real freaking Star Wars guy. Like a real.
What was it exactly that made you think that? Was
the Padawan.
The blue and the green.
The blue and the green is fine, but talking about how it looks like Anakin when he cut off the Padawan braid.
Yeah.
That really got me.
Yeah.
You know, that
that really triggered really something. Yeah. Weirdly, Mike is really into Star Wars. Is there other like things that you are as into as Star Wars?
The NBA, I guess. I'm sorry, I mean,
other than.
Well,
like,
I love. I mean, Harry Potter was.
Oh, jeez.
Was. Oh, don't you dare!
No,
don't you? No,
that's fine. If that's.
Did you not read Harry Potter?
I read the first four chapters of the first book, and then I stopped. Because I didn't like it.
I'll talk to GW about that.
Yeah, I was too old, is the thing.
Shut up. The same age. Screw you.
I was too old.
How old were you?
You know, everyone else was reading it, and I was like...
What grade was that?
It was like fourth grade or something. No, I don't know. It was like... I don't know. I think I picked it up in like eighth grade or something, and I was like, this... you know, it was...
This shit is lame.
Yes, it was. Because here's... I was like, you know, I was rifling through my parents', you know, bookshelf, trying to find like the Bukowski. I wanted to see what the drug, sex, and rock and roll was up to. I wanted to know what the adults were doing. That's what I wanted to know. I didn't care about.
So what were you reading?
You know what would have been a better story? Is if they just,
sorry, the Wizards are winning.
Against
beating the Spurs. Up by two.
And
by the way, I'll just halftime report.
Sure. Wow.
Nets up 43-41 halftime report.
Hey.
Sponsored by. Anyone.
Big.
Insert name.
Big business here.
Big business here.
anyways, a better story, let me just tie this in a bow, would have been You know, it's not that that hard of a life is to find out you're an amazing wizard. You know, what's a harder life is being the kid that lives under your parents' stairs. That's stick with
so
that.
So you wanted that story?
I want that story. I want that kid. God. You know, I just want to, that's a harder life. You know,
it's a lot about you.
Amazing wizard kid. Fine. You got it made. You won the lottery.
Move on, you know? Yeah, real tough. Yeah. Women crawling all over you.
Right.
Stop.
Yeah. And he's just not, yeah.
You know how, like, George Costanza, you know, like, he act like his wife died or something, and he got a bunch of women?
Yeah.
Like, he acted like, yeah. I mean, Harry Potter basically went in and was like, yeah, my parents kind of killed Voldemort, and I was the only one that survived. Well, he killed Voldemort. It was like, come on.
Yeah.
Unstoppable.
Yeah.
Unstoppable at Hogwarts.
Yeah.
Did you not care about that stuff? I mean, I know you like Star Wars, but does that not faze you at all? The fantasy, like, sci-fi-ish stuff?
No, I like that stuff. I like that stuff.
What's the biggest nerd thing about you? Magic, right?
I mean, I've got a lot. I got a lot of just, you know, skeletons in my closet. Nerdy skeletons were out in the way.
I think playing Magic on your iPad was the nerdiest thing.
I've been trying to get a physical game of Magic going. Just tweet at me. I'm trying. whoever's trying to have a draft party, I'll be there. We can live cast it.
All right, so we've learned that this team is not great.
Mm. Do you want to take a question from the people?
Let's do it.
Well, you know who we got to go to. It's your boy Chris Davidson. Whoa, that was loud.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening.
Oh my,
that's
God.
My mic's fault.
Oh my God, that just gave me a headache, Mike.
Sorry everyone who listens to us.
Chris, you just had a hell of an entrance, brother. Thanks for reaching out. He said, glad to see more frequent pods, always entertaining. Thanks, Chris. It's obvious Nets lack a quality point guard. Can you see the Nets making a trade for just at least a solid point guard, i.e. Rubio, Jennings, etc., or are they just going to continue to trot out Jarrett, I'm taking 20 shots a night, Jack? And hope for the best this offseason with free agents like
Wait,
Mike Connolly.
Who are the names?
He threw out Rubio and Jennings. Is this the first time you've heard about the Rubio
that
possibility?
Will never happen.
Yeah.
Especially because he's turned into this like, amazing player this
yeah.
year.
No, he's having a good year.
So Jennings would be interesting, right? Because coming back from the injury, we
right.
could probably get him at some kind of discount. I don't know who you would give up necessarily for.
I think who else is out there to be had.
So sort of the problem with this team is that, to me, the most tradable asset is Boyan. Like, in terms of just, like, the guy you can kind of fit into any trade, any team could use a Boyan.
Mm-hmm.
Like, obviously, Brooks the best player. And I kind of wanted to touch on this. Did you see what Chris Mannix from SportsIllustrated.com, he talked with Brooke about, like, why he re-signed with the Nets.
Yeah, I did.
He was like, Brooke was like, you guys got to cut out the trade talk.
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask you, do you think that Brooke even survives, right? Like, in terms of being on this team, he will be on this team for these next three
You know
seasons.
What I think they did to the, I want to cut out the trade talk. They did this gesture. They said, oh yeah, sure, Brooke. We'll do that.
Yeah.
This is the jerking of the hand motion that I'm doing over here.
Yes.
but yeah, so I don't think that he couched that and said, but you know, they have a business to run, which Brooke is a sweet, sweet man. And that's a nice thing to say. He's been unbelievably patient with this franchise. Mike, you're making a funny face at the board.
I just changed something. I think that actually helped us out.
Wow.
Well, that's good. Point guard, I mean, it'd be fantastic if they could make a point guard. I mean, like, the biggest thing, Billy King would maybe make it some kind of a bounce back thing. If they could somehow trade Jack for anything. So I understand, like, this team actually kind of needs a Jared Jack. I mean, they need Jared Jack. But if they can pump up his value enough, that's a massive win.
I don't see anyone talking about Dennis Schroeder yet. Or Schroeder.
Well, didn't he get the start or something recently for the team? But, you know, Devin tweeted at us. Thank you, Devin.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. So, I mean, I would
Let's go after Teague.
That's what I'm saying. Let's get Marcus Teague. Jeff Teague.
No, let's not get Marcus Teague.
By the way, you know, the BrookingGame.com did, like, rank the best players of all time who played at Barclays for the Nets. And, you know, Marquise was the worst.
Or no, I think it's spelled Marquise, but I don't know. It's tricky.
Yeah.
One way or the other.
Shingelia was very highly ranked.
Considering,
you know, I think I think who was he ahead of that really kind of, I thought.
I don't know.
Was the center last year that was on the team?
The center.
The backup center.
Last year.
This is bad that we don't, what was his name?
Who was it? I can't remember.
Nah, it doesn't matter. He was like 37. Doesn't really matter.
Not, you mean Jason Collins?
No, Jason Collins. No. So I would love for this team to trade for a point guard. That'd be fantastic. That'd be amazing. They would have to do something kind of tricky or trade Thad Young.
Dude, you're killing me with this backup center thing. Anyways, put it out of my head.
Yeah.
Gotta move on. Okay. So yeah, we got to talk to Atlanta. About, so is the deal, it's Jarrett Jack plus Boyan, does that get us one of these people, or are we gonna throw in Markell? Who are we throwing in?
I think, gosh, I mean, if you're Atlanta, you would need, it would have to be like, Thad Young, Boyan, probably Rondé.
For Jeff Teague, you're not gonna get Jeff Teague.
Yeah.
For anything.
That's the problem with this team, is that there's no interesting.
Our best player is not worth Jeff Teague, straight up. Like, I don't think we can get... Do you think we can get Jeff Teague for Brook Lopez at this point?
Maybe, yeah. Would you take Reggie Jackson again? Because Reggie's...
He looks good.
Pretty good.
He looks good.
Pretty good.
I would not.
But that'd be over Brook Lopez.
Because you can see what Brook Lopez is like with an actual human point guard. You know?
He's that good. Memphis game I really was watching for the Lionel Hollins, Mike Conley body language.
You love like, a headline.
What? What were they doing?
Look at Mike's eyes light up.
There was a hug there.
Yeah.
There was a hug there, and I was like, ooh, there's something brewing.
Well, look at you go.
There's something brewing like when Wade used to hug LeBron before LeBron went to the Heat.
You know what I watched that kind of stuff? There. You know what I watched that about? I saw, did you watch the ring ceremony for Golden State?
No. But.
So I did. And Adam Silver, you know, giving a lot of dap. Andrew Bogut comes up. Stiff white man's handshake.
Oh, God.
Dabs for everyone else. Stiff white man handshake.
Adam gave it or Bogut gave it?
The two of them together. Just, they came together. The stiff white man handshake. It's just something I pick up on. You know, just something. Why? Cultural difference.
You never know.
It's just an interesting thing for me. Mm-hmm. I don't know why.
We got another email. I have a tweet, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Read your tweet. Go ahead. Do you want me to do an intro? I mean, it's going to blow your face off.
Please do.
You didn't say his name. You missed the
Charles D.
God damn it, Smells. You missed the entire point.
This is from at not the Chuck D.
Jesus,
his name's Charles D. Nets should make a trade to improve the point guard spot. Shabazz Napier, low cost has to be possible. What do you say?
Wait, say it again. I was reading this thing.
Basically, it's a point guard trade question. He mentioned Shabazz Napier.
Mm-hmm. Is that who we
see? To me, Shabazz is probably mostly just like another Larkin. Like it's the same sort of like smaller,
needs to prove himself
point guard. Again, I'm happy with Shane Larkin. I'm pretty excited that we were able to get him for pretty cheap. No issues had there. Gosh, I can't talk about trades already. I can't talk about trades, Brian. This is too early in the season to like go through this whole mess of who can this team trade to get better, because they're not going to make any trades to get them better. The only things they can trade is Boyan for like some team that is desperate, and maybe they can get a young big, like not a good young big, but like just some interesting young big. They could trade Rondé Hollis-Jefferson in a way that like gets them, like Rondé and Boyan maybe gets you something a little bit better than what Rondé is, but I'd rather have Rondé Hollis-Jefferson and Boyan on my team. Just can't do trade talk. I cannot. Well, unless the next email is about trade talk, then I'll do it.
It is going to be. Well, it's not. It's actually indirectly. But this is an old friend of ours. Your boy, Hank Schley. You know old Hank, right? Dropping a bomb for Hank. What's up, Hank?
Sorry. Sorry, everyone.
This is a long time, not first time. So, Hank, I read your whole thing. I'm not going to read it live because there's quite a bit of material to sift through. I'm just going to get right to the question, but I really appreciate it. It was a nice note you wrote. Says, if there wasn't a better plan for this year than starting Jack, then why shouldn't I be mad the Nets released D-Will this year instead of next? So, Mike, you can probably answer this.
Well, mostly, they had to do it this year. because of the luxury tax and all that crap. Like, the only reason why they released Darren Williams, not just because he's a sourpuss, but because he was going to cost this team tens of millions of dollars just by being on it, and then it would have cost him basically into the next couple of years because he would have been on the team. Like, it stinks that the move was 99% financial, 1% because he's a schmo. But, I mean, they had to make the move now. It had to be done now. Because the benefit was that they would have got the repeater tax, that awful, dreaded thing that we always hear about how...
Wait, I thought Mikhail had bottomless pockets though, Smeltz.
What's that?
I thought Mikhail had bottomless pockets. No.
Did you see that he may be at the Nassau Coliseum? What's going on here?
What's going on. He's about to put a D-League team up in there for us.
And that would be okay. I'm actually going to bring this in a little bit.
Do you need me to slam the horn on that, Drew?
Please do.
It's not that loud. Tasty. I don't know why you're...
Well, because I can see the levels where I got. It's perfect. That was perfect. That was good.
Okay.
Because I changed the level.
I turned down the volume a little bit on mine, too.
I spoke with...
Take some credit for this.
The Hempstead Town Supervisor 3 months ago.
Wait,
for my day job.
What? Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is part of my day job.
It's like, and you're doing some...
They talked... I asked them specifically, you know, there's talk about who could be moved in there, about having a professional team there. She's like, well, we can't announce anything, but we have something in the works. The only possible thing that could be in the works for that type of arena would be D-League basketball, WNBA. WNBA is unlikely because they're not going to make a new team for Long Island at this point, the financials of it. And Dolan would not move. I don't think he'd move the team out to Nassau. Indoor, like some like minor league hockey, but there's no real value in having a minor league hockey team if there's a pro league in Brooklyn. So it was D League, and I was asking, you know, who's gonna be involved? She said, we're talking to someone, but I can't tell you who. I'm like, okay, I'm listening in.
Well, you know who.
I'm gonna go to every game. I'm gonna get season ticket package if they have a D League team.
I will put $20 on the table at 5-1 odds that you never go to Nassau Coliseum once.
Yeah, it's never happening. Yeah. It's never happening.
Yeah.
But, you know, so we had reports previously that Mikhail wanted to sell, and now he's looking at buying another arena so he'd have a D-League team. Possible. I mean,
looking to sell stuff was so weak. I'm telling you, tactical moves. He fired, he didn't want to work with the bank that he's working with, and people leapt to a whole bunch of crazy conclusions about that. You know, what do you do? So they just, I don't think he ever, I mean, like, I'm sure he keeps his options open just like anyone else, but it doesn't appear that he's going to sell anytime soon.
Sure.
But then, okay, so every time he acquires another thing, like, well, it's easier to sell the whole thing if you're going to sell the whole thing. All right. Well, so I guess this rumor's never going to go away.
It's one of those stories that I'm not following the updates. It's just, you tell me when it happens and I'm just, cause I'm not going to care. I'm not going to care until I hear, the one thing I have to hear is that who would buy the team. It's not just that Mikhail is looking to sell. It's who would buy the team. And also, what team is maybe up for sale? I think not the Bucks, maybe the Timberwolves. And I saw a report out that something like there's almost 100% chance that another team will get bought for over $1 billion this year just because, like, there's just too many people. So if Prokhorov really wanted to move sell the team, it would be done. It wouldn't be a hard thing. It wouldn't take this long, drawn-out process.
No.
So I think it would happen quickly. All right.
Yeah, yeah.
So the Nets.
Well, you nailed it. Do you have, like, news around the league, or what do you want to do?
Yeah, let's drop news around the league.
Okay, let me just drop that.
It's the news!
All right, go.
All right, news around the league here. This is Wednesday night again. We're recording this score right now. 47-49, the Hawks.
Wow.
9:38, third quarter.
I have to watch the encore of this.
Which I love the encore. I mean, sometimes I just record the encore just to have it again, just to have it on the DVR, just in case I need to go back to it, because typically.
Yeah.
You know, when I'm watching the game, kind of in and out.
You know what's going to be really rotten, though? If we win this game, like, this will change the whole vibe of, like, the season right now.
Brian, I wouldn't be too... I mean, I know it's 49-49 right now, but
I know.
This is just classic Nets.
This is me. This is my life.
Warriors and Clippers play tonight, Wednesday night.
Cool.
We've gotten many articles leading up to it about how much of a rivalry this is. Both teams hate each other. Curry kind of has some like petulance to him. the Clippers are completely just everyone hates them. It's known around the league that they're the most annoying team in the league.
Yeah.
Are they the best rivalry in basketball right now?
Whoa. Probably. I don't see a reason.
I tried to think of it. Yeah. I tried to figure out, cause it's, the Wizards won 102-99. I tried to think of it because, okay, so we kind of grew up in an era where we missed Lakers Celtics, right?
Yeah.
That didn't exist
for us.
What do
you mean, kind of? We totally missed it.
Yeah, we missed Lakers Celtics.
Yeah.
And when they played in the championship, whatever it was, 5 years ago, 7 years ago, we were told how great this was. And it was great. I mean, they had such history. And that's thought to be...
Such history.
Yeah. And that's thought to be the best rivalry in basketball. That's what I've been told. I've been yelled at. That's the best rivalry in basketball. But I don't think they actually care. Like really, do you think Lakers fans really care what the Celtics are doing on a nightly basis?
Of course not. Especially East Coast, West Coast, combination. It's never going to be...
They play twice a year.
Never going to be as hot. but of course, we missed it, so we don't know. Okay, so let's not talk out of our butts like we know. But anyways, no, I agree. This is my one sad thing about breaking up the divisions, which is what it appears they're going to do eventually. Like, if they actually... And we talked about this before, but if they did something to actually, cause what we were saying was football and baseball play something like 40% of their games against division, teams, the basketball only plays 18 or less, and if they did what football or baseball does, that would be a little bit more exciting. You would have a chance to actually breed some competition there. I mean, not in our division because everyone sucks, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why it would be fun.
Yeah.
And the Raptors would be the first seed in the East because they would just be playing crap.
I mean, if you want to do that stuff, you can. The reason that I like professional basketball as much as I do is because it's really controlled. Almost always the best team wins every year. And you can predict, all of the best, I think I read that the top 10 earners in professional gambling, people that gamble on professional sports, all of them make their money in the NBA because it's the most predictable. And it's the most predictable because they give it, in the playoffs, the team's the best chance, the best team, the best chance of winning.
Right. A Milwaukee Bucks scenario of a team not being that good and becoming really good is rare in the NBA, where the NFL happens all the time. In baseball, the Mets are awful 1 year and really good.
And you could do exactly what these other sports do and fabricate competition by just giving it's a one game wild card game. And so then, some jerk off team can come in and win a game just like any, MLB team or whatever. And if you want to do that, you could. And all of a sudden these divisions could mean something again because you get into the wild card thing and then you can just play one game and, all this stuff. So there are ways around it if you really want to. Of course, we don't want that though. We want the control.
Well, and my biggest thing about we're talking about the playoff realignment, people want to do just the best, the top 20 records, and then just throw it all in there. Doesn't matter, West, East, whatever.
Yeah.
But, most sports are based somewhat on the passion of rivalries. College football is almost entirely based on rivalries overall. Michigan, Ohio State, LSU versus Alabama, or Alabama versus anyone. They're all based on these, essence of rivalries. The problem with basketball, the one real problem with NBA basketball is that maybe because of player movement and that teams typically don't end up being good for extremely long times, multiple teams end up being really, you have a Spurs, but then everyone else kind of rises and falls. Rivalries just die.
Sure.
At one point, the Spurs and Suns were a big rivalry, and that's gone now.
Yeah.
It is true in, as you say, in other sports.
Yeah.
But baseball has entrenched rivalries that are never going to go away.
But that's also just because baseball's been around for way longer, and I think baseball in particular is the kind of sport that nerds like baseball. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. And nerds like rivalries, more than a casual fan. Because they have really dedicated fans of a team. They really watch the hell out of a team in baseball. And, that's true of basketball too. I don't know what I'm saying. That's a bad point. I'll take it back.
Yeah, take it back.
Dang.
I don't know.
Anyways, what was the main question? Is that the best rivalry in basketball?
Right now it is, right?
Gotta be. It's the teams that have been close, proximity wise and good at the same time for the longest, it just happens.
Yeah, I think if the Bulls were actually good, the Bulls Cavs could be a rivalry, but the Bulls aren't good. They always get hurt. Doesn't matter. Mm. What has kind of killed rivalries is the fact that LeBron, the best player in the league, has gone from Cleveland to Miami, back to Cleveland.
Yeah.
I mean, these robberies are all based off of success. If both teams stink,
yeah,
like the Nets and the Sixers, it's not a rivalry.
No. No.
By the way, the Atlantic Division has the best shot of having rivalries out of anything possible. I mean, you have Knicks-Nets, which is the most natural possible rivalry.
Dude, that first Knicks-Nets game I was at was amazing. It was the most closely, I think, like I'd never been to a game where that many people were watching that closely and that ready to just like jump down each other's throats. It was awesome. And if they had stayed good for a long time, it would be such a good rivalry. There was something about, specifically like the Nets, who had been the little brother, like in New Jersey for that period of time. The Knicks fans were legitimately like, you know, perturbed that they had moved into their territory in a sense, and like were stealing part of the limelight, because it was so easy for them to just be like, that's a joke of a franchise, because, you know, for a long time they were. And now it didn't appear that they were that much of a joke. Anyways, it was awesome. I remember leaving that game. We had won in overtime, and some, like, you know, a guy who appeared to have gone to the game by himself, a guy wearing like a Gerald Wallace jersey or something, leaving the game, you know, short, a little overweight, and there's two like tall, attractive Knicks fans behind him, jeering him, you know, and I went up to behind him and I said, no, you guys lost. You're a bunch of fucking losers. Get out of here. Don't talk to him that way. I was pretty drunk at the time, I would never do that normally.
How did that guy react to you?
They did. They left. It was amazing. I mean, if they had, they could have kicked my ass up and down the street, but,
yeah.
but they didn't. They chose not to. Thankfully. Thanks for that, guys.
That's the thing. So that's my rivalry speech. Basically, like, there are none. There you go.
What else you got?
Coaching odds. So this got batted around today, somehow. So Vegas is out on which coach will get fired first. Did you see this list, Brian?
I did, yeah.
So George Karl is a massive favorite, 14-5, which is just huge. Lionel Hollins, number 2, 3-1. Derek Fisher, number 3. My boy Randy Whitman's number 5. David Blatt took his team to the finals, is number 7, something like that. Out of all the coaches in the NBA, do you have a pick on? I mean, is it Carl going away just because of that tension, that weird situation that he has, where essentially him and his star player hate each other?
Yeah, I don't know enough about that exactly to like say with any certainty. I don't think Lionel Hollins is going to get fired. I'll say that much.
Yeah, I would bet if there's a way I could bet against that.
Yeah,
in some way, I would do that, because what would be the motivation,
right,
from this franchise? Just, what is he going to do that's going to go wrong for Lionel Hollins that they're going to fire him?
No. And it's also such a PR disaster to do it at this point. Like, you can't fire that many coaches. I would guess probably Blatt seems like a likely candidate, just to, like, if they go on a losing streak or something, it's like, get out of here. We're tired of it.
I think Blatt's a value. I mean, he's 8-1. That's pretty good value for, you know, just kind of throw that out there.
Yeah.
Derek Fisher's interesting at 4-1, not for, in terms of betting, but just like, that's the third bet, not best odds or worst odds, however you want to kind of view it. They're all right this year. And I just don't think that if Phil Jackson fired Derek Fisher, it'd just be a massive amount of like crap in the papers about how.
No. Yeah. They're not going to do that.
Because they'd essentially be firing himself. He would put himself in the last line of fire right there.
Yeah.
And
they appear to be okay right now.
Bench snacking.
What does that mean?
Did you see this vine, Brian? Did you see the vine?
Mm-hmm.
Spencer Dinwiddie of the Pistons.
Okay.
There's a vine of him.
I haven't seen it.
I mean, it's someone putting their phone to a TV when the TV was playing the game. He kind of looks over at Stan Van Gundy, looks down, takes a bite of a candy bar, and puts it away. So people going crazy, going wild about this. Oh, Spencer Dinwiddie is snacking on the bench. Snacking. Okay. Uh-huh. Not actually wild, but kind of wild. And he tweets out, he said, oh, you know, like something like Big Brother's always watching, something like that. Mm-hmm. And people were like, was that a Snickers bar? And they said, no, it was a Gatorade protein bar.
Okay.
My question, why aren't more players eating actually during games? I think more people should be eating during games. You told during a marathon that you should eat while you run the marathon. In the NBA, you get tired, you're running around all day. Why not get a quick protein bar on the bench?
Listen, personally, I don't like to eat during the game, but that doesn't mean somebody else can't. My God. I mean, I would I'd probably barf it up because I've got such low endurance. That's right. My problem. But I definitely eat a banana before the game and a couple of nuts, you know?
Yeah.
Just
I mean, fantastic pregame meal. And I think during – it gives you – so I came down here for our podcast. I was at work before we did this. Right now it is 9.
You had a McDonald's salad.
McDonald's salad. Nice, because I
But that was before. Okay, so if you ate a McDonald's salad right now, I'd be kind of pissed, to be honest. I'm going to agree with Vine World right here.
But I knew I needed it to carry me through.
No, but that was before the pod.
But I'm not playing basketball. If I was playing basketball.
No, I know. Okay, but here's I get that you're not playing basketball, but the
I was a big snacker during sports.
I bet.
Can you tell that?
Yeah, I could tell. Yeah. I bet you were snacking on just Chef Boyardee. You can't crack a can of spaghetti.
Instead of a can of like chewing tobacco.
I tell you one time.
Bopping Boyardee.
I fainted on a subway, not on the actual subway, on the platform, and this was years and years ago.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they put me in an ambulance, and I went to the hospital. I don't know, it was this whole thing. All I needed was a Gatorade. I was just really hungover. Anyways, give me a bag of fluid, that's fine. But while I was at the hospital, I was sitting on the, what do they call it, the bed thing that moves around? What is that? Anyways, one of those things.
The bed thing.
The bed thing, and there's another guy on his bed thing across from me, and he looks like just a pig in shit. It feels like he's been there every day of the year. And he takes out a black plastic bag and puts it on his like stomach and pulls out a can of tuna fish, and then he pulls out a jar of mayonnaise, and he opens the tuna fish with, pulls up the can, uses the lid of the can to sticks it in the mayo, and then just chops it up and eats it off the lid of the tuna.
Oh,
and I'm sitting there where like the toes are almost touching, and I'm just watching this guy. It was pretty gross. But that's what I imagine you were like on the bench, just eating off the lid of the spaghetti.
Absolutely. Yeah. Bench snack. Last one.
Yeah, again.
Ronda Rousey. You know who Ronda Rousey is?
Sure. That's one person I know.
Rousey. Speaking with Maxim. I'm reading off the page here. Says all she wants in a guy in her dream date would be someone bringing cider, beer, and chicken wings over. Brian?
That's it?
That's it. That's all she wants. She said, if someone did that for me, that'd be great. Brian, what's your dream date?
Is not going on a date. I guess that's like her version.
Tell me what would it be, yeah. What would it be?
You know what I like walking. I like just walking around, It'd be easy to walk around and then,
pop in some shops, get a cookie.
Yeah, that's what I like. Seinfeld talks about this a lot, Jerry Seinfeld. The non-event is the best
Seinfeld event.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. You've heard of him?
No.
Okay.
I'm
so.
In Queens.
But I like that idea. Just walking around. Just having a day. Not necessarily an event. Cause I really don't like the pressure of an event, I also don't like coming up with ideas.
Mm-mm.
I hate that feeling. I was just talking to the glue intern, and he was saying that like a big part of like what he feels is a bit of an inequality in the online dating world is that still he's expected on his swiping dating apps or whatever, he's still expected to be the person to come up with the date. And he hates that. He was like, why, there can't be any kind of, reciprocity there. They can't.
Well, I mean, that is such an advantage for the guy who knows kind of how to do the date. Who knows,
is that you, Smiltz? Is that you? Know
is that me?
Yeah.
No. I was famous for the, hey, you want to watch a movie in high school?
Netflix and chill.
I was big on that, and it worked.
Yeah.
That always works. The movie is never going to fail, because you really don't have to talk to the person, but you're sitting next to them.
Yeah.
I find the whole, dinner and then, going to a bar afterwards, it's like really daunting. I mean, I haven't been on a date in.
Sure. Dinner, sitting across from someone at a dinner is something you don't know.
It's gotta be a 35 minute dinner.
And also sitting right across from someone. Have you ever done that? Just sat and had dinner across
just
from someone?
Staring at them.
You want to sit on the corners. I mean, it's on the same corner, one half of a table on the diagonal.
It's gotta be a loud place too.
Yeah.
I think because if it's a quiet
place. If you're
place,
having a French dinner sitting across from each other,
it'd be
nightmare.
With a lot of places, you can kind of get by with not talking for a little while, and then you can kind of talk about other people like that. I mean, that's the main game. You can make fun of other people and then be like, look at us. We're great.
You're a loser. Cruel. This is what you do.
To be honest, I've never actually been on a date like that.
Me either.
I mean, I met my wife.
But the idea of it is stressful to me.
In 2009.
Mm-hmm.
It is 2015.
Did you just check the calendar?
Yeah, I was like. And I did math in my head. I was like, oh, fuck. This 2009, that's not in the 2010 decade.
Yeah.
I had to do add the carry of the one. Right now it's 64-63 Nets.
Whoa, dude, we're definitely having to watch this.
I'm not a great – because also I can't make a decision on a date. What do you want to eat?
I can't make a decision in life.
What do you want to eat? I don't know. Yo, what do you want to eat?
When I started working at my office, I freaked people out because they would say, you know, we're going to get lunch from this place. What do you want? And I said, I'll have whatever you're having. They were like, that's too much responsibility for me. I'm like, no, it's really, it means nothing.
Yeah, to, yeah. Exactly. Just like, whatever slop you're going to get, I'm going to like it.
Your gruel is fine with me. I don't care. Couldn't do it. They were like, no, that's too much pressure. I can't handle it. I'm like, no, this is how I adapted to the pressure. I learned to be okay with everything.
Right.
Yeah. And that's what you are. But coming up with it is what makes you feel fear.
I remember distinctly 4 or 5 times in my relationship with now my wife where I actually said to the waiter what we were going to eat.
The two of you. You ordered for her?
Yeah. But, I mean, she told me what we were going to order, and that was the only times I ever said, like,
oh, you let her do the talking?
We're going to get always.
You know what I do? Here's what I do. I've become really good at being, doing the, what are you having? You know, and this came from working at restaurants, you know, because there's nothing you like less as a waiter than to, like, go to a team, or go to a table with no leader, you know? You go to the table and nobody's talking.
I'll step up.
Yeah.
I'll be the crossing guard on that situation.
That's what it is. You say, what are you going to have to the person across?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because if you go to that table and there's just no, they're trying to be too egalitarian about it, it's going to be trouble.
You just want to stop people and be like, okay, I'm here for your order.
Yeah.
Just
somebody speak
let's
up.
Let's do this.
Yeah.
That was news around the league.
Was it?
Yeah.
Right on.
Do you have a killer comparison or are we,
I don't actually have one. I don't know. I just wanted to play the drop.
That was it.
we could do the pop stars. We already talked about who Barnoni was in Bieber. Who's Demi Lovato?
One sec. Okay. Demi Lovato. Okay. Well,
I only know that one song. She seems like she's working
We don't really want to compare anyone to Demi Lovato because she's got a lot of issues.
Oh, really? I don't know anything about
these. Like anorexic people. At one point. Or
Yeah, that's something I don't know.
So you
want to
do pop stars?
Yeah, but I should have done my research because now I'm going to get into hot water.
Well, here's the hardest one.
I'll end up on Jezebel.
Who would be Thad Young?
A pop star? That'd be Thad Young? First of all, that's not going to be your band leader. That's your Joey Fatone.
But not even Joey Fatone because he's more of a glue guy.
Yeah.
You know, classic glue guy.
Is Thad Young not a glue guy?
I mean. And no, Thad Young is. And I think Fatone is like personality. Like Thad Young is like a Bargnani or like someone who's not good but entertaining. Not that Joey Fatone, I mean, like, you know, whatever.
Sells Rogaine now. Well.
Who would be Thad Young? Someone who is a musician who is good but not great, not flashy, but yet somewhat valuable.
Can I say something? I don't like Ed Sheeran's music. Can I just say that?
I was thinking of Ed Sheeran. Is that who you were thinking of?
I don't know why that popped in my head because I was just thinking of like who's a popular, you know, musician now, and I just don't like it that much.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
I mean, it's hard to say because
that song though, he's going to be. I mean,
it's a wedding song forever. You know,
wedding forever.
Yeah,
and then eventually it's going to be the father daughter dance.
Yeah, you know, it's another wedding song forever. Blurred Lines. The Robin Thicke song.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do that on purpose.
That's so lame at a wedding, though. I don't know. Did I have it at my wedding?
I don't know. Probably. I mean, everyone has it.
That song stinks. I don't know.
And Happy, that one freaks me out. That song freaks me the fuck. Like, I feel like that's what they sang at, like, in North Korea. They sang, like, the Happy song. that's what I think of.
Yeah, so Bargnani was Bieber. I think that's for sure.
There's no way Bargnani was. Bieber is too big a deal. Bieber's like an actual, like, you gotta be like a good player to be Bieber.
Yeah, but I mean, if we're going pop stars, you gotta name names here.
Okay. Christina Aguilera. Ex-Tina, specifically, her ex-Tina phase. Do you remember that phase where she was just wearing chaps? Because they're all crotchless chaps.
Right.
Everyone says assless chaps, but they're always assless.
Jared Jack would be a performer who is successful but yet oblivious to the way.
Jared Jack is ex-Tina?
No, but Jared Jack would be like the one who's oblivious to sort of how they're not that great, but yet they have the confidence that they are great.
Wow. A lot of Nets players on this list. I mean, we don't have to just use Nets players.
Okay, good. Thank God. Yeah. Okay, Chris Paul.
Boy.
Chris Paul is someone who can't get really along with. He's tough to be, he's tough in the recording room.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
What are you thinking?
Ariana Grande? Is that not?
That's great.
Is that not who?
Because the production is there.
Yeah.
The production is certainly there.
She's a huge talent.
But the stories that I've heard.
Yeah.
You know.
Still her with the donut shop. She's looking at the donuts in the donut shop.
What's going on there?
She's looking at the donuts.
Who does that?
She doesn't think highly of other people. She's looking at their donuts.
I don't know if you saw this. Sammy Watkins from the Bills was getting, he's a Bills wide receiver.
Did not see this.
He was getting criticized for, cause he wouldn't play cause he was injured. And he said something like, all you and your shitty ass jobs, all you low, like, you know, like he tweeted that out and then he tweeted out an apology. Like, once you call people like the people who follow you, like saying they're like losers, no.
It's tough. Tough to get that back.
We know that that's how you think of other people. So why don't you just say like, you know what? What am I going to do?
Yeah.
I said it. That's how I feel.
Is this a very good player? Is he has no potential of having a shitty job in the future?
He's pretty good.
Not going to be like
pretty good
working at a Starbucks someday.
Unlikely. He's a guy.
Vin Baker just had a story. He's a manager of a Starbucks. He seems to be very happy.
Money doesn't buy you happiness.
It doesn't. It didn't buy Vin Baker.
It doesn't buy you class either.
Wow. You sound like one of the real simple, not real simple, Real Housewives of,
you know, that's a song, right?
Money don't buy you class. How do we know this?
Do you know that?
Because I watch the shit out of Bravo.
Bravo's great. Do you watch Below Deck?
Of course I watch Below Deck.
You do?
How have we never talked about Below Deck?
Below Deck?
It's like the best show on TV.
Okay, so actually I don't know why I didn't even talk about this in the podcast.
We need a Below Deck related killer comparison.
You know the play Hamilton?
Play Hamilton?
The musical. Hamilton.
Oh yeah, sure.
It's like the hottest musical going right now.
Yeah, I watch New York One News and I see the bad.
my wife's friend got me into the show essentially, well, not essentially, for free. I got into the show. It's a big show. Everyone, like, you pay hundreds of dollars to get into it, but I got into
it. Wow, look at you.
I don't want to talk about it. But I was even, and it's amazing. It's an amazing play. Like, people think like, so what they do is they take the story of Hamilton and instead of singing, there are some songs, but it's mostly rapped. It's a rap. The music is rap and hip hop. Sure. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's beyond great. But I was, even when I was sitting there, I was like, you know what though? Rather be watching Below Deck. Like, Below Deck, not to belittle Hamilton's amazing. I'm so glad I saw it. Below Deck is like the greatest, maybe the best show on television.
You know, they really nailed perfectly. What's the most interesting is because they've been flirting with this quite a bit, which is like rich people actually suck and they're not that smart and they don't deserve all of their wealth.
Yes.
That's sort of what Bravo does. It's like these are shows about bad rich people who are actually pretty dumb.
Money don't buy you class.
Money don't buy a class. Something is learned. What's the next part? Anyways, what they've done with Below Deck is they have that element and then they've really done the, you know, front of the house, back of the house thing so well. You know, that group of people. Because, I mean, you've seen the episodes with Dane. I mean, Dane is my absolute favorite. He was the...
Yeah, I could tell that would be your kind of guy.
Oh, my God. He's just like, he's got this really dark side to him when he gets...
Oh, my God. When you just get drunk by himself, like, Dane, why are you drinking by yourself? It's like, it's my day off. It's my off. No one's going to tell me what to do. Wow, Dane. Yeah.
Dane, have you never seen this behavior before?
Yeah. What about, oh, my God, what's her name?
Rocky.
Rocky. What's your take on Rocky?
I mean,
the fact that
compelling,
she's never looked straight into any
so
camera's eye.
Compelling. I love that bit when she's like, only if he plays smooth, operator. Like, so the way that she speaks is great. We could go on and on. This could become a Below Deck podcast like that.
I mean, so what I've loved about this season, so I actually dislike that they dialed back on the making fun of the people who come on the boat. I think that was like
it appears to be like a less like interesting group of rich people, unfortunately.
And I just think they generally just did that. Besides the first episode, I think it was the first episode where they had the really rich guy who won the bubble bath party. And
that was awesome.
I don't think anyone's, no one's been more drunk on television than that guy.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
With his foam boots. I love that.
You just paid tens of thousands of dollars to be on a yacht, get drunk.
You've seen the show. You know you're going to get made fun of.
Yeah. But they really, like, every episode has the scene when they're pulling out of the dock and Captain Lee's yelling at them and they're like, he's like, tighten that up, tighten it up.
Yeah.
Every episode, I'm like, all right, I've seen this before. We can,
I know.
We can move on.
That Captain Lee character is Steve, but he's like, oh, really screwed the pooch. Those gels. I can't believe we're talking about this for so long.
I don't know if it's that he has no neck or that he has no chin. I think he has no chin,
no
right?
Chin. It's just he's got goatee. It just goes mouth into goatee.
Rocky kills me, though. I mean, the fact that she can't stare into a camera as a person.
I mean, her date with Emil, like, will stick with me forever.
Emil must
just
be
like,
the dumbest person
on
television.
He's so drunk, and he's just like, you know, wine and die at 69.
And he's like, yeah, I can't do his voice, but like, I think Rocky likes me, and she's yelling like, I do not want Emil, and like,
we're gonna go on and on about this, next week, everyone get, you know, caught up in Below Deck, and we can all enjoy it together, we'll take some callers.
So
maybe we should get Rocky on the show.
We can easily get Rocky on the show, yeah. I think at this point. So right now the score is 78-75, fourth quarter, 10:25 left. Moral victory even if they lose?
Sure, so far so good, you know, whatever. Wow. Why don't you tie a bow on this thing, Smalls?
So here's who the Nets have coming up. Obviously, we're recording this on Wednesday night, so that means the Hawks are playing them right now. So they could be 0-5 or 1-4. Here's what they got coming up. Home for Lakers they go on a 4-game road trip. This is great.
Yeah.
Home for Lakers at Bucks, at Houston, at Sacramento, at Golden State.
God damn.
What a freaking schedule this team has.
I know.
Then it's home for the Hawks. Oh my God. At Charlotte, which then it's the classic back to back against Boston. Not back to back nights, but back to back on the schedule. Oklahoma City. Okay. Here's the schedule. I'm just going to run through it. I think we're going to go loss win. Okay. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Home versus Lakers.
Win. That's going to be a win.
That's a win. Right? At Bucks. It's a loss.
Yeah.
At Houston. Houston's kind of shaky right now. Probably a loss. At Sacramento.
Gotta be a loss.
Okay. At Golden State.
That's a loss.
Home for Atlanta.
Probably a loss.
At Charlotte.
Could be
a win.
But is probably gonna be a loss.
At Boston.
Gotta get some wins against Boston.
Home for Boston.
Probably split that. Let's split that.
Then at OKC, at Cleveland, and then home for Pistons.
Oh my God.
That's November. That is all of November. There is two or three winnable games in there. This team could be staring at, I mean, you know, a lot can happen. This team could be staring at 3-12.
Yeah. Probably is staring at 3.
Where are the Sixers games?
Yeah.
Where are all the Sixers games?
Right at the end of the
Come
season.
Come on. Need them now. We don't need them then. Need them now.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Lakers, Bucks, Houston, Sacramento.
Hey, but if we win this Hawks game tonight, that'll change a few things for me. That might mean, you know, a Sacramento game, a Charlotte game here, you know, and all of a sudden we're 5-10. You know, then it's a gravy train with biscuit wheels, Mikey.
That's what I was waiting for. Yeah. Check us out on Twitter at BK Glue Guys. You can find us on iTunes, search Glue or search Glue Guys. Thank you again to bookinggame.com for hosting us on your website. We may have an interview coming up with someone.
Nice tease. Thanks, everyone. The end of the show, and then you can all go home.